Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I like when Kane sends this over and he's like, this is a different sausage story. Because there was a fight. What was it? A fight between a couple. And
yeah.
one, we had this Monday. Like, the lady hit the dude with a sausage.
I think the dude hit the lady with a sausage.
But it was like a summer sausage.
Either way,
maybe. Right? Anyway, okay. So this is a whole different sausage fight. This is. That was an accident. A Florida man hurls sausages at older brother during disagreement. Emergency responders used a saline solution to wash out the victim's eyes. Okay, really? A 60-year-old, quote, brat in Florida is facing charges after he hurled sausages at his older brother. According to the arrest affidavit, Pinellas County Police Department, the 60-year-old Ray Allen got into a heated argument with his older brother in the backyard of their St. Petersburg home. Police said that Allen threw sausages right at his brother's right side of his face. And they said that he required EMS personnel to use a saline solution to wash out the unidentified victim's eyes. They said that Allen may have been drunk. He was arrested on a charge of domestic battery and booked it. He threw a sausage at you. You're a sissy. If somebody throws a sausage at you and you're like, I need saline solution in my eye. I think some of the meat got in it. I don't know. Like, really? Am I wrong, Kane? That's ridiculous. Anyway, the guy was released from jail. He pled not guilty to misdemeanor, but he can't contact his older brother. Oh, my gosh. This is like one of the dumbest things I've ever read. Another Florida man wins $1 million because he played Florida's lottery scratch-off game. I am not as interested in that as I am about the guy who... Well, I'm going to save this one for tomorrow. I've got another one for tomorrow because this guy had a tantrum at a senior center over his DMV vision test. A lot of words I can't say. Our partners that help bring you free radio over at Kel-Tec, the R50. Kel-Tec is a great company based in Florida, and they make some really innovative firearms. Now, the R50 that they have, you have the P50. The P50 is super cool. P50 is 5.7. I have the P50. Love the P50. The R50 is, well, the R50, it's a little different. You've got the ambi-side folding stock, 16-inch threaded barrel. Those are the same, but you have, this is the carbine version. And the 50 stands for 50 pews. That's standard capacity, by the way. And it's lightweight, it's compact, it's versatile, it's got a lot of firepower. 50 rounds, again, standard capacity. And like the P50, the R50 has 7 inches of real space up top, so you get a wide range of optic options. You got some real space down on the bottom, too, for accessories. 5.7 cartridge, you got sporting, hunting, all kinds of variants, right? Serious personal defense. And it ships with two of those double stack mags. The weight loads is needed. It lays horizontally along the top. Light, well balanced, super easy to manipulate. This is great for serious home protection. You have to check it out. It's the R50. It is the big brother of the P50. And you can find it at KeltecWeapons.com. The new R50 carbine, KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you. This was a cutting comeback because it popped up again later on in the debate. This was, I think, really one of the moments kind of ended that. Listen.
And this shows how hypocritical Ron continues to be. When he was running for governor and they asked him about that, he said he didn't think bathroom bills were a good use of his time. You can go look that up.
I signed a bathroom bill in Florida, so
but
that's
you
obviously
no.
not true.
So the idea that you would say that I was
signed
against
it. You
that.
Didn't. You killed it. I signed it. I stood up for little girls. You didn't do it. And there was this going on. I was actually just in South Carolina.
You killed it.
Some
I
of the
signed
legislators
it.
Told me at the
that
time.
Was great. That was a great moment that he had in that debate. And that was bad for her. Look, one of the reasons I'm highlighting this stuff is because it's further evidence of folding instead of fighting. If it's a culture war or whatever you want to call it, you can dislike the idea of a culture war, but you have to recognize that all policy extends from it. That's how it's always been. All policy extends from it. So you can dislike the fact that it's a culture war or whatever. All policy comes back from that. It all begins there. That was a really strong point that he had, a really strong moment that he had last night. And I think it contrasts two different kind of factions within the Republican side, within the right. You have the side that thinks that, you know, these battles aren't battles worth having. These battles, oh, they're a distraction, or they're silly, or, well, you don't see the need. And it gets into the video that we played yesterday. It was a shortcut. I felt it should have been longer. And it wasn't our guy's fault or anything. It was just that's how it was put out there on the internet. But she had said that in this, that she didn't, when it came to medically unnecessary medical mutilation, you could say, in the name of the gender cult, she thought that that was something that the law should stay out of, which is asinine to me, because you wouldn't aid. That's like saying, well, you know, the parent's abusive. That's something the law should stay out of. Oh, the child's bulimic and they're killing themselves with their body dysmorphia. That's something, and the parents are aiding it. That's something that, you know, the law should stay out of. You don't aid negligent, abusive parenting. That's actually against the law. And so it comes down to whether or not you believe that aiding and facilitating this abuse in body dysmorphia with medically unnecessary surgeries, etc., you either believe that that is an act of criminality or you don't. And apparently she doesn't. And she doesn't realize the extent to which this is happening to minors. That's a major issue, major problem. And so I thought that was that issue, and that back and forth, those two instances of back and forth, I thought were the biggest hits against her. And I think those are the weakest spots in her campaign, for sure. For sure. They are the weakest spots in her campaign. It was that right there perfectly contrasts the two factions in the Republican side on this. All right. There was a lot more too. As I wrote about this last night, Chris Christie, I thought, I think his only moment, his best moment, came unintentionally. There was this time, I was trying to remember exactly what Vivek Ramaswamy was saying to her. It was a goofy personal attack. And I always just think people, you act like it's a flex. Some people think it's a flex to make a petty personal attack on someone, but it's just it's a red flag of defeat, or white flag of surrender is really what it is. It's a defeatist move. You have nothing else to avail yourself. So people go to these petty personal attacks. And I think that one thing that's being overlooked by a lot of the folks that cheer that style on is that it's loathed by independents. I mean, there are numerous surveys on this, and it's across the board. It is loathed by independents. And I'll say it again, all of this is determined in the margins, right? So I understand the point that Ramaswamy was making when it comes to sending sons and daughters to fight. Although he contradicted himself. Does he support now sending aid? Does he support aiding Taiwan or not? Because at first he was like, yeah, like give them to China. Go ahead. And then he took it back. And then he got mad at the people who pointed out that he had said it in an interview on tape of his own mouth. Yes, you know, we're just go ahead and let China have Taiwan. And then he's like, no, we'll send troops in. So I don't know. He's just as bad as the rest of them. He was just talking about let's just send troops to Taiwan. It was a weird back and forth. Anyway, there was one moment where he had this personal attack on Haley and Chris Christie. It was a quick second. And it was the time when the camera panned out. And it was, if you were on the stage looking at the audience, the camera shot was from the left side of the stage. And you could see Nikki Haley kind of gesture to Chris Christie, nod her head, and you can kind of see her say thanks. And he just nodded his head in acknowledgement. Not because they were friends. I think he was like the old grandpa on stage, right? He was like the grandpa on stage. He was just sort of tired of it. And and that wasn't the first time that Ramaswamy had done that as well. He also had this audio soundbite 9. This was, and then apparently Christie got mad over this and said something to the debate moderators. Listen.
We learned three things right there. First of all, Chris Christie also doesn't know what provinces in eastern Ukraine he actually wants us to fight for. Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah. So do everybody a favor. Just walk yourself off that stage, enjoy a nice meal, and get the hell out of this place.
So that's a fat joke? I mean, it's okay, Kane, if we make fat jokes. But I don't want I don't think that's a flex for a candidate on stage. That's low T energy, dude. I don't like that. That's not clever. It's not. You look like a dumbass when you do it. It just looks weak. I can't stand that. Whenever I see people doing that stuff, and they're politicians, like, we can do it because that's what we do, right? Like, we're not, I do not pretend to be a statesman, okay? I give you insight, and then I'll give you some opinions. They're two different things. But I don't like it when I see my candidates do this, because you're supposed to be more put together than all of us, right? That's why you're on the stage, right? You're supposed to have the facts at hand, and you're supposed to be way better than all of us at this stuff. Isn't that why you're running? Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to vote for somebody who's worse than me on stuff, right? That's what that signals to me. When I see someone that thinks that pettiness is a substitute for wit, I just think, why would I vote for somebody as good or worse than me? And then it makes me not like that person. That's not my fault. That's that person. That's the candidate's fault for telegraphing that. I just think that he seems like, again, Michael Anthony Hall from 16 Candles. I think that is the extent of his reach when it comes to rhetorical skill. He's not a great debater, and it sounded like that was a manufactured response as well. I had some of his fans getting mad at me all day. I don't even care. I have been hated by the establishment. I've been hated by new people who act like outsiders, but they're really more establishment than the establishment. I have been through that. I've been doing this since I was in my early 20s, so I get it. I've been in the streets. I've canvassed. I've done all that stuff. I have seen it all. I have been around it all. I have heard it all. This ain't new. It ain't new. So I probably wouldn't dislike him personally. I mean, he's been on the show several times and we got along fine. As a presidential candidate, no. There's just certain people, you can like them, but they may not be the best for the role, right? They may not be the best for the position. It's like you got to look at it like a sports team. You may like player X, but they're not as good as player Y at this position, right? Maybe they're not a starter. But, you know, maybe they'll come in clutch when it comes in. I mean, everybody's got a different role to play, and it's fine to acknowledge that. Not everybody can be president of the United States, and not everybody should be. But that was just some of the stuff. I feel like this debate was the debate where we're going to find out the biggest policy differences between some of these candidates. And then also, we're just going to air all the petty grievances that they all have with each other. And that's kind of it. I will say that this debate was the first time that Haley named Trump and criticized him from the debate stage. That has never happened. I've watched every single one of these debates twice. That's never happened before. So that was very interesting. Thought that was just very interesting indeed. Our friends at Hillsdale College. And this is a great academic university, actually, or academic institution, rather. And I say institution because they do so much more than just, obviously, they educate people who go there for higher learning. But they also really understand how education is so incredibly important to liberty. So it's not, you don't have to just take advantage of what they have at their campuses. They have all kinds of free online resources that encourage you to pursue learning. Autodidacts are celebrated at Hillsdale College. They're not elsewhere in society, but Hillsdale gets it. And they also want to thank you for all of your kindness that you've demonstrated towards them throughout this year. So this Christmas season, they have a special video. It features their sacred music choir singing A Little Town of Bethlehem in their Christ Chapel. Gorgeous chapel right at the heart of their campus. And you can access it at Dana4FORHillsdale.com and help them celebrate the season and learn from a college that was founded to offer the education required, not just needed, required to preserve our civil and religious liberties. And since their founding in 1844, they've been holding true to that mission. So when you visit Dana4Hillsdale.com, you can see and hear the choir. You can see all of their other free resources to help you celebrate the season. And it'll be a good visit. You'll learn a lot. And there's a lot of resources there. The choir sounds amazing. That's Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, Gavin Newsom canceled the public Christmas tree lighting amid planned pro-Hamas protests. The Christmas tree lighting was canceled because they said that there's going to be some of these. Well, they were worried about trouble. Why don't you just threaten the people that are trying to, you know, cause problems why don't you just tell them don't cause problems, and otherwise there's going to be a penalty. But that would be a little bit too difficult, right? George Santos is apparently earning six figures from those cameo videos. You guys remember the video? What was it, Monday that we had it? So John Fetterman had hired him to make this video where he was trolling Democrats over Gold Bar Bob, right? And now he's apparently earning six figures. Now, Cameo is this thing where you can hire people. There's a lot of celebrities on it and weird folks. You can hire people to make like these videos. And you can, you know, it's like, how long are they? Like 30 seconds, 15 seconds? I don't even remember. Yeah. And you have them make these videos, and you can, they're yours after that. You can do whatever you want with them. He's making six figures. Drug shortages are hitting record highs. This is kind of wild because this is really crazy. I mean, and I have a story about this coming up later on. A House committee is investigating what Congress can do to the supply chain to make sure that doctors don't have to keep rationing essential drugs, the cancer treatments, the cancer drugs. There's even a shortfall. Health experts agree that the shortages of hundreds of generic drugs need urgent attention, but they said they're still trying to build consensus on how to handle that, what best remedy to deal with that. Psychologists say they can't meet the growing demand for mental health care. Yeah. And you know what? It's made worse by the matrix of social media. They said psychologists are, and also because people, they think there's a one size, one solution fits all with it. Annual survey by the American Psychological Association released this week says that they were gauging the impact of the coronavirus, which made it all infinitely worse. They're seeing patients still struggle with symptoms. A lot of people need longer treatment times due to the mental impact that the lockdown had on them. And it's all ages. It's not just youth either. It's like all ages, especially they were saying older Americans that were used to going into the workplace, and then they all had to be stuck at home, and they're like in their 50s, and they all had to be stuck at home, and it was really bad for them. That doesn't get a lot of attention. Let's see. This is fun stuff from China. Giant 8-inch poisonous spiders are set to invade the United States. Black and yellow spiders. They've been parachuting through the air on the East Coast. They're going to hit New York and New Jersey. They're the 8-inch Joru spiders. It's a Joru spider. Oh, gosh. I don't even like saying the name. Their toxin is as toxic as a bee sting, the venom. And they said they only pose a threat if the victim is allergic. What if you're just allergic to them being here? They said they can fly 50 to 100 miles at a stretch. They use their webbing as a parasail to glide in the wind. And they're hitching rides up the East Coast highways. But they said that they're not a threat to humans or pests. The jury's out on that. The jury's out. And they said that they're going to be in Jersey, New York. They're huge. 8 inches. That is about 8 inches too big for any spider. I don't even like the looks of them. They are terrifying. They go after other spiders. They're going to kill all of the local spiders that we hate. Ugh. We're coming back to this because, golly, I have tons more on it. In addition, I just want to touch on the Bidens again. So what's the thing whenever they unveil, right, the White House Christmas decorations? And sidebar, I know some of you out there who are Republicans and who liked Trump, hated Melania Trump's Christmas decorations. I will fight you all day long. It was goth as all get out. I loved it. Those were the best Christmas decorations. I'm not going to hear it from nobody. They're like, well, it's great. I don't know what I think about it. You know what? They were cool, and they weren't this hokey stuff that they put up in the White House. Okay, right now, I digress. So they unveiled, you know how they have this big mantle in the White House? It's like in one of these reception areas. And what is it? For two Christmases, the past two Christmases, they put up stockings for all of the Biden grandchildren. And so it's the theme, and the mantle reflects that. The theme of the White House decorations is like the magic and wonder of Christmas, something stupid. And they had all this stuff on the mantle as well, but missing from the mantle were those stockings, because they hung up six stockings. They have seven, but they have seven grandkids, but they only hung up six stockings. They had one stocking for each grandkid, except for five-year-old Lil Navy, that is Hunter Biden's daughter with that chick, London Roberts. And so the White House was asked about it, because they were ratioed online when they posted a picture, when a picture came out of the mantle, and they got dragged for it. And then they ended up taking them down. It was so bad. And so they didn't even put any up this year. They would rather not put up any stockings of their grandkids than put up a stocking that has little Navy Joan, little Navy Joan's name on it. These are, screw you people. That is so evil. That is so lame. You're a grandparent and you can't accept your son's daughter that he had out of wedlock with a dalliance, this London Roberts lady who seems like she's doing a good job of raising her. And I think she had to say a bunch of nice stuff to the press in order to settle with Hunter, by the way, but that's another point. But she had to drag that 50-something-year-old POS to court repeatedly to get him to pay child support and to get him to do his due diligence to the life that he helped create. And Joe and Jill can't even be prevailed upon to acknowledge her in the form of a stocking at Christmas. What does it cost them to have this little girl's name on a stocking and represented with all the other grandkids at Christmas? I think for a woman to not acknowledge a grandchild, you are cold hearted and I can't say it on air. And for the man to not do it, I mean, Joe Biden, good grief. That's just despicable. That's not a family man. That's not an alpha man. That's not a patriarch. You're excusing your son, and then you're refusing to acknowledge the life that he helped create. I don't care what party affiliation you are. I have zero respect for people who do that. None. They are the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth for doing that. I mean, I call them white trash in the White House. I'm going to tell you what. I got some white trash kin, and they acknowledge everybody. The people in the White House, they don't. It's disgusting to me. I had to get that off my chest because we're not going to push through anymore in this show. I mean, how lame is it? What does it cost you to put the grandkid's name on a stocking? How much does that tell you about this family? They can't even do that much. So they don't have any stockings this year. They'd rather not have any of them. They'd rather not have any of them. No stockings at all. Now, what gets me? So they were asked about this. They were said, okay, so, you're not going to have any stockings this year? The spokesperson said, quote, the family will be spending Christmas at Camp David and their family's stockings will be there. Mm-hmm. That's right. Whether you can't see them and take pictures and ratio them on social media, they're going to be there, the stockings. I wish the reporter would have followed up with, well, why aren't they on the mantle this year? Because they were for two previous years. Is it because they got dragged because they won't put Navy Jones' name up there? Again, what is stopping them? I can't understand this. Do you any speculation? Can't you have any? I cannot understand this at all. None.
I want to know if little Navy's going to be on that mantle.
Oh, dude, you know she's not. They'd take a photo of it. They'd virtue signal off it. So hardcore. That's so lame. So they just don't have any. They just don't have any. They don't have her not up on that mantle. They don't have anything up at all. That's so dumb. But that says everything that you need to know. That's all it is. So they got the Christmas. They have statues of the family's first pets that are terrifying looking, as you know, pet statues typically are. Otherwise, you know, it's Christmas decorations. I mean, I just don't know why the media is not losing their mind on them. I mean, they have like a candy room and all this. I don't know. It just looks basic. It just looks like basic stuff. Where I thought that Melania Trump's went, I thought hers was edgy and cool looking. But, you know, what do I know? I guess I just don't know me no Christmas decorations.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.